Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then we'll go to the children's talk. And so if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll go to the sermon. And so let's pray. Our Father, please help us now as we look to your word. Give us clear minds, ears ready to listen, and hearts that are humble and willing to obey. As we think about the glorious privilege we have as your people to pray, we ask you would grow us in a desire to pray. As we look to Jesus, may we glory in these words in Hebrews. In Jesus' name, amen. And now let's read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And now, it's over to the children's talk. Hello everyone, I'm here with three of my kids, Kai, Ellie and Hannah. Say hi guys.
Hi.
Now, I have something very special behind me. I wonder if you can see what it is. Ellie's got a bit of a smile. What do you think it is, Ellie?
I don't know.
Kai, what do you think it is?
Lollies.
Yes, I have a packet of lollies right behind me. And I don't know, do you guys want it?
Yes.
You sure you want the packet of lollies?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. If you can get past me, then I will give you the packet of lollies. Now, one at a time. Kai, have a go at getting past me. Come on, try. Oh, you're not doing very well. Not doing very well. No, that's a fail. That's a fail. Sit down. Sit down. What about Hannah? You want to have a go? Can you get past me? Can you get past me to the lollies that you really want? Come on, give it a go. Give it a go. Oh, doesn't look. No, she can't do it. Sit down. Sit down, Hannah. All right, Ellie, your turn. Can you do it? Can you do it? No. Oh, she's trying. She's trying hard. No, not going to happen. No. Ellie's going to have to sit
down.
What
about we all try it at once?
Did you guys really want that packet of lollies?
Yeah. Yes. Let's do it again.
Were you able to get the packet of lollies?
No. Sadly, no.
What was stopping you from getting the packet of lollies, Kai?
Yeah,
I was the barrier. I was what was standing in your way to the prize of the packet of lollies. Do you know that there's an even bigger, better prize for people that they should be wanting? Can you guess what that prize is? There's a couple of answers that could be for this, but Hannah?
Jesus.
Oh, that's a good answer. Ellie?
Jesus.
Kai?
Heaven.
Oh, gee, those are all good answers. I love them. And you're right, really, with all of them. Because what I was going for is God. We should want to be with God, and we should want to be in His presence, and we should want to pray to Him. And do you know, there's something that stands in people's way when it comes to prayer. Can you guess what that is, Kai?
Sin.
Oh, you are exactly right. Sin stands in our way. God is the greatest prize of all, and we should want to be with Him. We should want to pray to Him. But sin stops us. Because if we sin, we can't be with God. We can't be in His presence. God is the greatest prize, And we should want to be with him, and we should want to pray to him. But sin stops us, because when we sin, we can't be with God. Sin is the big barrier that forces us away from God, because sinners can't be with God. But do you know how that barrier is taken away and how we can be with God and how we can pray to him? Hannah?
By Jesus dying upon the cross.
Oh, you are exactly right. Because Jesus died on the cross, that sin barrier is taken completely away. And we can walk directly into God's presence and we can talk to him as our Father. Isn't that such good news? It's as if there was just a packet of lollies on the table, nothing in between you and it, and you just walked over and had a big munch. I think you'd like to be able to do that.
Yes.
But even better than that is being able to be with God and being able to pray to him, because our sin is taken away. You know, that is so much better, because God is the one who gives us everything.
Can I have a lolly?
No. But what we can do is we can say a prayer, which is the best thing that we can do. So let's close our eyes, hold our hands, and we'll say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that because of Jesus, we can pray to you. We can come into your presence. Our sin is taken away so that we can be with you and we can talk to you and know that you hear us. We thank you for this great privilege. We know that it is better than anything else that this world has to offer to be with you. So we thank you for it and we pray that you would forgive us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
A man sat down to pray. He'd carved out 15 minutes to sit in the morning before the hustle of the day and spend time with God. But he was already 5 minutes late. He'd gotten to bed late last night. He was tired, so didn't jump out of bed ready to pray like he was hoping. There he was with 10 minutes left. And in the stillness of the morning, before his family stirred, his mind whirled with questions. What should he pray about? If only Jim would hurry up on those projections at work, he'd be able to do his part of the project and pass it on to Mary. Actually, he needed to ask Mary how Ralph, her husband, was doing after his surgery. It must have been about 2 weeks ago now. Oh, that's right. Lucy needs to bring her swimmers to school. She'll probably forget her water bottle, so he needs to make sure that's in her bag before she leaves. He looked at the time. He had 2 minutes until everyone else would be up. He sighed, frustrated that his efforts to pray had failed again. He remembered the half dozen times he'd tried to do this in the last year, and it always ended the same way. Does that sound familiar to you? It does to me. Christians know they should pray, but it's a struggle, and it's tempting to give up. Why bother if we're just going to fail? How can we do better at prayer? That's what we'll be looking at for the next 3 weeks. It's the rare Christian who's satisfied with their prayer life. But before we look at the nuts and bolts of how to pray better, let's take a step back and ask the question, why pray? Our first reason we should pray is that Jesus has opened the way. See what Hebrews 4 says about Jesus. Verse 14 says he's the great high priest who passed through the heavens. In the Old Testament, the priest killed animals as sacrifices. These birds, lambs, bulls, they took the punishment for the people. And on the holiest day of the year for Old Testament Jews, he'd pass behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies. The holiest place in the physical universe was behind that curtain. That was where the Ark of the Covenant was, God's throne, and the high priest sprinkled the blood on the Ark. Why? Because sin demanded judgment. The penalty for sin, every sin, is death. That's how holy, how committed to justice, how good he is. He can't and won't allow evil to go unpunished. And because his standard of goodness is so perfect, every sin leads to death. So sacrifices were made. But Hebrews 8:5 says that the earthly temple was only a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. On our most recent holiday in Geelong, we stayed at my mum's place, and she had a Lego architecture set. Kai set to work, and he made models of some famous New York City buildings. And when you compared them to a photo, they looked a lot like the real thing. The earthly temple was like a Lego model of the temple in heaven. And that's where Jesus went. He passed through the heavens into the very presence of God. His sacrifice was the real deal. By his death, we're truly forgiven. He received our death sentence. And now the way is clear. Verse 16, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Before Jesus, the way to God was blocked. Not too long ago, we locked ourselves out of our house. We had to wait until someone from the real estate came with a spare key. Our sin was the locked door. We couldn't come into God's presence. God is too good and pure. But now, through Jesus' sacrifice, we're welcomed in. We've seen recently some of who God is. He's eternal, unchangeable, and holy. And there's more we could have explored. He's spirit, infinite, wise, powerful, just, truth, good, compassionate. This is the God we can approach. Through Jesus, we're welcomed in. We're asking the question, why pray? But a better question, given the God we're allowed to approach, is why wouldn't we pray? Have we forgotten the glory of the one we pray to? When we understand who this God is that we can now approach through Jesus, we'll want to pray. We'll be like the psalmist in Psalm 43. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God my God. Do you want to grow in prayer? Get to know your God through his word and make him your delight. Jesus has opened the way. That's our first reason for prayer, because we can through Jesus. And a second reason for prayer is God is willing and able. This is hinted at in Hebrews 14-16 and yelled loudly in the rest of the Bible. What do we come to in verse 16? The throne of grace. It's a throne. God is king and nothing can stop him doing as he pleases. God isn't some constitutional monarch with limited powers. He's not a figurehead signing bills into laws and cutting ribbons and being the patron of various charities. That's the kind of throne we're used to. But it's useless to us in prayer. But God rules with absolute power. While the nations scramble to react to aggression from others, God isn't threatened. All these rulers are pawns on his chess set. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. This is the God who spoke the world into existence. God's on his throne. He's powerful, he's able, and he's willing. It's a throne of grace. He hears and responds. James 5:16 says the prayer of a righteous person has great power. Why? Because the God who answers is powerful. Our prayers aren't useless. We're sometimes tempted to think that God won't answer our prayers. Or not how we want. We're pessimistic and can't imagine God taking away this hardship, this disease, these relationship difficulties. We're tempted to think that God won't help us. And there's no guarantee that he will, that's true. But we can trust that in everything, however he answers, he's doing the best thing for us. Jesus asked in Matthew 7, "Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He sits on the throne of grace. He cares. He cared enough to send his son to die for you. So even as you suffer now, remember that you're following in your Saviour's steps." And, Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" He cares about our suffering, and he even cares about the small things. He does care about that ingrown toenail. Matthew 10:29-31, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Why should we pray? Because we can. Jesus has opened the way. And because God is willing and able, his throne is a throne of grace. There are many reasons we should pray, but a third is we are needy. Look at Hebrews 4:16 again. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What need is the writer talking about? Verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Through chapters 3 and 4, the writer's warned about sin. He's used the Israelites rescued from Egypt as his example. Don't be like them. They saw God perform signs and wonders. He fed them in the wilderness, gave them water from the rock, but still they didn't believe God's promise that he'd give them the land. They didn't trust God. And that's the root of all sin. When I fail to respect the governing authorities, which I'm often prone to do, I'm not believing God's word. I don't trust him when he says that he's the one who established the authorities. I don't trust that giving honour to our leaders is the best way to live. Instead, I'm under the false assumption that my words don't matter, that it isn't sinful to despise someone because they're a politician, as if that doesn't dishonour the God who established them in their authority. We're needy. We face sin every day, every hour, and so we need to pray. We need his help. We have a high priest who knows what it's like to be tempted. He can have compassion on us and will strengthen us to endure through the attacks of the evil one, just like Jesus did. And every day we fail and need to pray that God would forgive us. But it's not only sin and temptation which makes us needy. We're dependent on God for everything. Paul says in Acts 17:25 that God gives life and breath and everything. Psalm 104:14-15 says, "You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth." Have you come to grips with just how dependent you are on God for everything? I was helping in a kids' holiday program for a church a number of years ago, and I was trying to help the kids realize how dependent they were on their parents. But some of them, primary school kids, really wanted to argue the point. They could even cook some basic meals. But where did the food come from? Who bought it? With whose money? And how did they earn that money and pay for the housing, electricity? And on it goes. We're just as foolish as those children if we don't realize how dependent we are on God. James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." Why do we pray? Because we can. Jesus has opened the way. Because God is willing and able, and because because we're needy. We have an incredible privilege. Once barred from God's throne, now God welcomes us as a father, his children. In his grace, he helps us in our need. When it comes to prayer, God's word urges us, commands us, call out to the Lord your help. And that's what causes so much guilt. We're told, call out to the Lord your help, but we so often fail. We're like the man setting aside time to pray, but getting distracted. In the next few weeks, we'll think about some strategies to help us pray better. But first, we need to think about our motivations for prayer and why we're not motivated. For some of us, we only pray when at church. We pray a number of times in the service, but don't pray at all the rest of the week. The question this sermon is trying to answer is, why pray? But an equally important question is, why don't we pray? Here's a dangerous suggestion. If we don't pray, one reason could be that we're not a Christian. Prayer is the privilege of the Christian. It's coming before the throne of grace to our Heavenly Father. Christians want to pray. They know what they've been saved from sin, hell, God's wrath and judgment. And they know how indescribably good he is. They know Jesus died for them, that he's now passed through the heavens, opening the way for us to enter. The door has been unlocked for the believer. And believers want to pray, even if they never feel they do it enough or well enough. But if you don't care about prayer, it could be that you've never stepped through that door. You have no idea about the greatness of God. You don't know or love him because you haven't been saved yet. Jesus isn't your great high priest. Is that you? I'm not speaking to people who wish their prayer life was better. I'm speaking to people who don't have a prayer life and aren't bothered by it. If that's you, then examine yourself. Is Jesus your high priest? Have you placed your trust in him? Are you forgiven? Prayer is the ultimate expression of faith. If you never pray, and that doesn't worry you, then you might not have faith and be on the dangerous path to hell without even realizing it. Why don't we pray? Why don't we call out to the Lord our help? For some, it's because they're not Christians in the first place. But why do Christians struggle to pray? Do we struggle to believe that God is willing, that his throne is a throne of grace? Does the reality that God made the world just by the power of his word get lost in the moments of our hardships? Do we know these things in our heads, nodding along as we read them, but then forget them in the struggles of life? Or is it not God we're confused about, but ourselves? Do we forget how needy we are, imagining that we don't really need much and we can provide for ourselves? I'm convinced that the most common reason God's people struggle with prayer is because we've forgotten who God is and who we are. We've forgotten the depths from which God called us, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were God's enemies, destined for judgment and hell because of our wickedness. We wanted nothing to do with him, shaking our fists at him in sin like an ant shakes its fist at an elephant. We've forgotten the wonders of the God who is glorious, who in Revelation 4 and 5 has the angels and the elders and all the people and all creation fall on their knees in worship. And because we've forgotten his glory and our utter neediness, we can sit in a room trying to pray but have our thoughts wander because we're weak and we forget who we're speaking to because we don't see him. It feels like we're speaking into the air. It doesn't feel like we're in the throne room of the universe. I'm in the same boat. I think I'm too busy to pray. How arrogant. To think I can do things in my own strength, that I'm not needy, and it's not worth taking the time to call out to the Lord our help in my need. Now's the time to kickstart our prayer lives. If you're not sure where to start, grab a pew sheet, read Psalm 150, and pray for one thing in the prayer list. And the next day, do the same, picking another prayer point on the list. Start off with 5 minutes each day. Let's build the habit. And come along to church early next week, 9:30, so we can restart our prayer meeting. Even if you're not ready to pray out loud, come anyway. Join your Amen with ours. Let's join together as a church desperate for God, knowing His glory, thankful for forgiveness, remembering how needy we are, and that He sits on the throne of grace which has been opened up for us by the cross. Let's call out to the Lord our help. Jesus opens the way. God is willing and able. We are needy. We have these and a million other reasons to pray, and we haven't even discussed the reality that we're commanded to pray, and to not pray is sinful. And so let's be a people of prayer. Let's pray privately. Let's pray as a church. Let's call out to the Lord our help. And let's do that now. Let's pray. Our Father, please help us to pray. Help us to want to pray. Remind us of how good and glorious you are. Fill us with love for you, a desire to speak to you, to pour out our praise to you because you're so good, so wonderful, so powerful. Remind us of the privilege we have to pray, that you hear us, even though we're sinners, that you've removed the barrier of our sin through the sacrifice of your Son. Remind us of our need. We need you. We're not self-sufficient. We're completely dependent on you for everything. So please, make us prayerful. Change us, our attitudes, our priorities, our desires. If we don't desire to pray, may your Spirit work in us, exposing why. And may we see there is nothing more precious or glorious than coming before your throne. May we live by faith, not by sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. or our prayer meeting at 9:30 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.